Is there any possibility that the Italian or French or British governments would tell Netanyahu, you know, don't come through our airspace? This is, of course, speculation. But what do you think?
Well, he shouldn't feel safe, but obviously he does.
Toby Cadman, thank you so much for joining me on the Green Planet Monitor.
Thank you.
Toby Cadman is an international human rights lawyer and the co-founder and joint head of Guernica 37 Chambers, a London-based law firm specializing in international criminal and humanitarian law. Watch our complete conversation at greenplanetmonitor.net. Italian human rights lawyer Francesca Albanese, in her role as a special rapporteur on the human rights situation in occupied Palestine, Albanese has submitted a host of damning reports to the UN General Assembly and Human Rights Council. Israel and its conjoined twin are not amused. Albanese's latest report has really pissed off the Americans. From economy of occupation to economy of genocide, it's called. Albanese lists dozens of mega corporations that have been aiding, abetting, and profiting from Israeli settler colonialism, apartheid, and genocide. Among these, U.S.-based Lockheed Martin, Hewlett-Packard, Amazon, Palantir, Microsoft, Google, Caterpillar, the list goes on and on. Infuriated, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has struck back, quote, Albanese has spewed unabashed anti-Semitism, expressed support for terrorism, and open contempt for the United States, Israel, and the West, Rubio wrote in a statement released on July 9th. He was just warming up. Albanese, little Marco declared, has written, quote, threatening letters to dozens of entities worldwide, including major American companies across finance, technology, defense, energy, and hospitality, making extreme and unfounded accusations and recommending the ICC pursue investigations and prosecutions of these companies and their executives. We will not tolerate these campaigns of political and economic warfare which threaten our national interests and sovereignty, unquote. Francesca Albanese is now under U.S. sanction. I spoke to Francesca Albanese last January. At the time, Israeli occupation forces were demolishing Jenin refugee camp in the northern West Bank. Since then, some 70,000 Palestinians have been forcibly displaced from Jenin, Tul Karm, and Nur Shams camps since October 7th, 2023. About 1,000 Palestinians have been killed up and down the West Bank by Jewish settler terrorists and their soldier friends. Since May, almost 700 have been gunned down by Israeli or private U.S. snipers while seeking out food at U.S.-Israeli humanitarian aid centers. Israeli War Minister Israel Katz has proposed a concentration zone be established on the ruins of southern Rafah, into which Gaza's surviving 2 million people would be forced, presumably by a fleet of Caterpillar D9 bulldozers provided by Israel USA. Here's Francesca Albanese.
Why is Israel destroying homes, residential areas, roads, water infrastructure? Why is it depopulating entire areas? Why it's pushing people south again? And the arrests and detention, the practices, we see the conditions of people, Palestinians, coming out of the detention networks that Israel has set up, that Israeli human rights organizations have called a network of torture centers. So you see the bottom line, what emerges, the common denominator is the assault against the Palestinians as such. It doesn't matter where they are. As long as they are Palestinians, they are targetable, They are destroyable. They are killable.
And yesterday, Israel went in and demolished 24 buildings in Jenin. And they're going in with helicopters, with armed drones and demolition crews. And it's astonishing that they can go into Jenin refugee camp, which is, I think, something like 500 square meters in size and has, I don't know, 10,000 or 15,000 people in it. I may be getting my numbers wrong, but they've gone in and it's tiny little space, and they've gone in and they've blown up 24 residential buildings. How can they get away with this? How is it possible?
It's possible because this is Israel. As historian Meraz Sigal says, Israel was born as a state of exception compared to international law and multilateral order. And it's an extension of the West in the Middle East, so it's exempted from respect of international law. The brutalization of people is not new. And if we go back in history, if we manage to peel off, to undo our historical amnesia, we will see that Western countries, and the US first and foremost, have treated people in the global South as disposable, and they've waged wars, they have crushed international protection. Think of Guantanamo. Think of Guantanamo Bay, what they have set up there, which defies everything that international law is about. So I think that what we are seeing is, sorry to say, Western imperialism on steroids, and the world is tired of it. What we see, on the other hand, countries in the global South mobilizing and sticking together against, as I say, against a lawless world, is the beginning of change. And it's not the beginning, because the world and the streets and universities and encampment have already said enough 1 year ago or 15 months ago. But now policymakers are stepping up with concrete actions against the system. And my hope is that they will succeed. And these bases of principled policymakers will keep on growing. We need it.
I want to get back to that, these comments in a moment of yours, Francesca, talking about how the international community, global civil society, is responding, although the powers that be, the United States and the Western powers, don't. But I'm looking at this comment that Stephen Witkoff, Donald Trump's special envoy to the Middle East, just told Axios, having traveled to Israel, and he went to Gaza, Stephen Witkoff did, and he said, Stephen Witkoff told Axios, there is almost, this is a quote, there is, quote, almost nothing left, unquote, of Gaza. Quote, people are moving north to get back to their homes and see what happens and turn around and leave. There's no water, there's no electricity. It is stunning just how much damage occurred there. And Stephen Witkoff, just like Donald Trump, is a real estate developer. So here is just a straight up admission from Stephen Witkoff that there's nothing left there. In other words, this is kind of like the definition of genocide. It's rendering the place uninhabitable. It's astonishing that he can actually say that. And I guess a whole lot of people shrug their shoulders. There's no accountability.
Mm, exactly. There are two missing elements in President Trump's envoy assessment. One is about Israel's responsibility to make reparations for what it has done. No one is talking about that. But Israel must offer reparations, must pay for what it has destroyed. And this is application of international law in its most basic form. The other thing is, excuse me, there are 2.3 million, except those who have been killed by Israel or by the death, the lethal conditions created by Israel's genocidal assault. who are genocide survivors, and they're there. And they should be the first and foremost with whom whomever goes to Gaza engages. Not with Israel, excuse me, not with Israel. The people of Gaza are the Palestinians in Gaza, 75% of whom are refugees from modern day Israel. They are the ones who need to be asked, what do you need now to make your life better? Without making assumptions about how Gaza can be transformed into something beautiful. Gaza is, was, and will be something beautiful, but not because of development, residential development opportunities, but because of its people, because of the humanity there. And those who have been to Gaza know what I'm talking about. There is something so special about the people in Gaza. But you know, David, ultimately, I do believe that we need to start from really square zero. What are the rules out there? We have an international legal system, and I insist, if we are eager to go without it, we are ready to embrace a lawless world. I personally, I'm scared of it. I want to have the certainty of the rules that have formed, not perfect, not ideal, not fair, 100%. And still, this is the basis I sort of cling on, because without this, we are in extremely dangerous and uncharted territory where clearly human rights are not going to be the priority.
I mean, it is frightening, and you've used a word that comes to my own mind, you know, being scared, fearful, when one beholds the situation today where a country like Israel and the United States, and I mean, I kind of see the two as a conjoined entity. I refer to it as Israel-USA. It really is, in my view, one entity. And Israel-USA, the two of them, have shown that they've totally hollowed out international law. Over the last 15 months, they've shown that international humanitarian and human rights law is just an empty shell. It's the law of the jungle. One can do anything one wishes to do, and Israel has, and with no accountability. I mean, the International Court of Justice, with its genocide ruling at almost a little more than a year ago, saying genocide was probable or plausible, and then in July that the occupation is unlawful, and it's totally ignored, completely ignored.
Yeah, and you know, David, it's true, and I wish it was just the United States and Israel. Because frankly, when we look around, and Europe has been pathetically, almost and entirely silent on what the people in Palestine have gone through. I mean, I remember 2 years ago when we had peaks of violence, for example, at the end of violent settlers or soldiers, you would have European politicians condemning these excesses. Now no one even pretend to have an opinion about that. They've just turned their eyes away, which is shocking. No one is talking about genocide. Yes, some politicians here and there, because they're principled. So this is why I'm saying it's the entire political establishment which has shown its true nature, its true colors, and this is not something that should reassure us. We need to do better. And our policymakers, especially in places where there is a democratic system that allows accountability, we should make sure that these policymakers are held accountable for how they contributed to the genocide of the Palestinian people.
Francesca Albanese, you've been special rapporteur on the human rights situation in the Palestinian territories since May of 2022. So you're coming on to 3 years in the position, and you've filed various reports to the UN General Assembly and the Human Rights Council focusing on the carceral continuum in the occupied territories, and on colonial erasure and genocide, and on the specific fate of children. Very powerful reports. How has your own sense of your own mission and effectiveness, well, effectiveness is another matter, how has your own sense of your own mission evolved over the course of the last 3 years, given the fact that all these things can happen, which just blow one's mind, with complete impunity?
Yeah. Look, my role is that of a voice of reason. I mean, I'm requested by the United Nations to look at the facts on the ground, make an assessment based on international law, and report. That's it. So in that respect, I do what I have to do. I don't think, I mean, if I had to measure effectiveness in terms of responses of member states, well, I wouldn't feel to be very effective, but I won't take the blame on myself because, I mean, this is beyond my capacity. Where I think I have been effective is in contributing to sensitize, to raise awareness about the facts on the ground. The fact today it's much more common, and I don't claim success for it. Huh? I think I've added my voice to the important work that the Palestinians have done for decades, denouncing what they were going through as settler colonialism. And I've brought in the important work done in academia by so many scholars, especially, but not exclusively, especially in the Global South, denouncing colonialism and enduring colonial practices in today's world. So I have contributed to explain certain phenomena and to normalize reference to international law. Probably this, yes. Is it a success? No. The success is to stop the genocide. The success is to make sure that one way or another, the occupation is brought to an end. And we need, this is the thing, we need this paradigm shift. Member states should not engage with Israel concerning the future of Palestine. Israel has nothing to say regarding the future of Palestine. Israel has the right to protect itself, the territory that was recognized as its own in 1949. And then the injustices connected to that have to be resolved sooner or later, because this is, I mean, an injustice today will keep on festering into the future. But then in the long term, it should be end of the apartheid. And this is going to be beneficial to both Palestinians and Israelis, because again, the Israelis do not realize what they have transformed, what they have evolved into. It's a brutal reality, but they need to face it, as many soldiers are doing. Soldiers who have been fighting in Gaza, and now coming out, they are dealing with their demons, and they say, we have crushed with our tanks hundreds of bodies. We have destroyed homes and lives for fun, out of boredom. Like, what kind of humans are you guys? And sooner or later, they will be called to confront it. Not now. They are still, I mean, I hear from Israeli friends say, oh, people over here hate you. I'm sorry. I would love to engage more with Israelis. I would love to be heard. I've even given my availability, you know. I've been approached by the Israeli TV. Of course I'm available to speak. Am I scared of being interviewed by Israeli anchors? Of course not.
You've been approached by Israeli TV.
Yes, but then they canceled. They asked me a couple of times. Once they held me for 20 minutes. I was so horrified because this is not normal. It's rude. You say, look, we have an issue. No, at a certain point, they said, oh, but this was like more than 1 year ago. And then they've never called me, but I'm there. I'm there to talk. I'm there to be proven wrong. But again, if you engage with me, we engage on two grounds: facts and international law. No nonsense. No, God gave me this, because again, we are in 2024, we can discuss on the ground of international law. Everyone is equal before the law.
Is there some way, in your view, that the international community can hold Israel accountable for its actions, for its violations of international humanitarian and human rights law, given the fact that the Security Council is supposed to be doing this? It's the Security Council's role. The Security Council could issue a Chapter 7 resolution this week ordering Israel out of Gaza without even consulting with Israel. There could be an international intervention force. Of course, that's just fantasy. It's not going to happen. Is there some other mechanism whereby the international community can hold Israel accountable?
Yes, of course. Look, it's a matter of political will. And I understand why you say it's fantasy, because Israel has never, ever been held accountable. But if we go back in history, there have been moments where Israel has been pushed to comply with international law. For example, in 1956, when invaded Gaza. And it occupied Gaza for 9 months. And then it was ordered by the Security Council to get out of Gaza. There was a peacekeeping mission and the troops moved out. So it's not just, it's a matter of political will. Now, that political, under the current constellation, I don't think that that political will form easily within the Security Council, but this is why we need to activate other mechanisms. Look at the Hague Group, for example. I hope you have had the chance to follow up on what was happening in The Hague last Friday, a coalition of 9 countries, and I'm sure there are more who have not appeared fully endorsing the initiative yet. Because political process take time, and every one of those countries had political considerations to undertake.
Tell me about this, because I truth be told, I had not heard about this. Who gathered in The Hague last week, and what were they talking about?
Yeah, it's 9 countries like South Africa, Brazil, Belize. I'll give you the list of the countries, but let me tell you first, what is important is the fact that there is an initiative led by a coalition of politicians, primarily principled politicians, called Progressive International, and they have supported member states to come together around 3 critical action points stemming from international law, and in order to change their policies vis-a-vis Israel. So they say 3 things. Universal jurisdiction. We, in our territory, we will investigate and prosecute war crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide. And therefore, these places will be no safe haven for any Israelis who might have committed crimes. I have to say, there are countries which have started this vetting without adhering to the initiative as of yet. Then the second point is an arms embargo, full arms embargo vis-a-vis Israel. And the third is no harbor. Each state says, I'm not going to land my port, my airport, for indirect transfer of anything that can be used to the detriment of the Palestinians, weapon-like, to Israel. So it's, again, these 3 basic principles, as I was telling them, as I had the chance to be invited to speak with these countries weeks ago, I was saying, what you are agreeing upon is really the most basic ways to comply with international law. Because in fact, international law is much more articulated. You should have transparency of all kinds of relations, because as you ask me, what other states can do, what can be done, economic, political, and diplomatic measures against Israel to force it into compliance with international law. In another, if we were living in a place that allowed some idealism, I would say it's time for member states to threaten a military intervention to protect the Palestinians, as it has been done before. It should be authorized by the Security Council, of course, and it will never happen. So member states should stand up and defend the rights of really innocent women and men and children who are seeing their present destroyed for what? For colonial ambitions, for unrelinquished colonial ambitions. But we do not live in that ideal world, David. So little by little. So this is why I think this initiative is so important, because it is a starting point coming from African, Asian countries. There is Malaysia, for example, which has been such a critical voice against the monstrosity that Israel has unleashed against the people of Gaza over the past 15 months. So there are principal countries from Latin America, Africa, and Asia. I want to see European countries are part of it. I want to see Western countries are part of it.
And when is that going to happen? When are you in touch? I'm imagining that you do speak with diplomats from the UK, from France, from Germany, from the Netherlands, from Italy, and from Canada, who one would hope have some kind of little modicum of courage to take action.
Look, I speak to parliamentarians in the countries you mentioned, not to government officials. Government officials in France, the UK, or Canada, they're not, or Italy, my own country, they're not engaged with me. So it's, but I understand. I mean, they're supporting Israel, so they don't want to be told in a meeting what they already know. At the same time, doesn't matter. We will build, I will always help anyone who needs to be reminded what international law says, to build, political will from elsewhere. And parliamentarians are such an important constituency, because eventually they are elected by the people. And I have very good relations with parliamentarians in France, in the UK, in Canada, in Italy, in my own country. So more work to do.
Francesca Albanese is UN Special Rapporteur on the human rights situation in occupied Palestine. We'll post our complete conversation at greenplanetmonitor.net. We'll also link to Albanese's June 30th report, From Economy of Occupation to Economy of Genocide, and to the Hague Group. The Hague Group will be meeting this coming week in Bogota, Colombia, possible announcement of new member states. That's it for today's GPM, a listener-supported podcast coming to you from Earth Chronicle Productions in the Netherlands. Listen to, read, and watch more Earth stories at greenplanetmonitor.net. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, and our home base, Blueberry. We're also on Canada's Harbinger Media Network. I'm David Kattenberg. Over and out for now.
Dave Rung and I Clue, live from Fulham FC in London, and you are listening to The Noise Carpet on CJSF 90.1 FM and CJSF.ca.